Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show here on WKOK 1070 AM. This is Todd Hummel here. We will be joined later on today by Ryan Snyder at 1:35 from On3.com and at 2:05, hopefully, by West Durham. So going to get into a little bit of NFL right now. It looks like tonight the Eagles and the Seahawks will be playing. Not sure how healthy Jalen Hurts is going to be tonight. He was a little ill, it sounded like, yesterday. That came up late. As a Seahawks fan, I kind of want Marcus Mariota to play, but that's just me. It also looks like Geno Smith is not going to be available tonight again. That seems to be closer to a game-time decision, going to be Drew Lock. With the way that things went yesterday, the Eagles have clinched a playoff berth, and with the Cowboys' loss, I believe it's a two-game lead in the division, so that's huge for the Eagles right now. Seahawks need a win to stay in the playoff race. I think with the way things went yesterday, they are still alive, but not super alive. As we head into the playoffs right now, it sounds, if you got a chance to see the Bills and the Cowboys yesterday, that one went, if you're a Cowboys fan, it's such a strange thing. You know, they were crowning the Cowboys yesterday or last week after they played the Eagles, and then once again you put the Cowboys on the road and they kind of laid an egg. And you know, people had stuck a fork into the Bills, and it looked like Sean McDermott was in trouble with that article that came out on him about 2 weeks ago with some of those strange revelations from the meetings about some of the things he said. But, you know, to quote an old Chris Berman bromide, nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. And now they've beaten the Chiefs and the Cowboys in back-to-back weeks. And, you know, now they're the type of team that everybody is scared of currently, you know, and don't want any part of. And now it looks like maybe the Dolphins and the Bills might be a first-round matchup if both teams play out. And I'm pretty sure that's not a first-round matchup the Dolphins won, even if it will be back at Miami with the way those two teams match up. Over in the NFC, you know, it's hard to go against the 49ers right now, especially the way they're playing and you know, the way they handled the Cowboys earlier this year and the things they did with the Eagles. I think it was a third straight game with at least 40 points. Brock Purdy threw another four touchdowns. And, you know, it's hard to believe that a guy that, you know, was once Mr. Irrelevant is probably the favorite right now for the NFL MVP. And, you know, I think he said in the press conference yesterday that his vote is for Christian McCaffrey. It's a little, I think that's two that will split votes. But, you know, that's a quarterback award these days. And, you know, with Tyreek Hill was one of the people that were favored to be in the MVP race. He missed the game yesterday. So, you know, I think you got to go with Brock Purdy right now. So as we get into look at some other things, signing day's Wednesday. Ryan Snyder will join us from On3.com a little later to talk a bit about, you know, what Penn State's recruiting class and what some of the other recruiting looks like across the country. I did see that Ohio State quarterback Kyle McCord looks like he's headed to Syracuse to play for the Orange Men. or the Orange, I guess, now. I think Penn State can probably be feel good that some of the guys in the transport portal that Mississippi State has picked up over the weekend aren't eligible for the Peach Bowl. They've seemed to really improve themselves. And we'll just have to... We'll have to see how it goes. We'll see what Penn State gets, you know, as the transfer portal moves on. So as we get into let's what else went on this weekend? You know, Big Dom was banned from the sidelines for tonight's game and the rest of the season. The part about that that seems to be a little bit strange for me is, you know, you're punishing him for touching somebody in the sidelines, which I think you obviously have to do. You know, he can't get involved, but I don't understand why, you know, it's just for the regular season. I don't know. You think you could find, you know, a reason to keep him out for the rest of the year maybe? And you know... That incident just seems strange to me. It didn't look like he did much, you know, but again, you don't know if, you know, in the middle of playing who's going to touch you, who's touching you, or who or what is going on at that point. So you can understand what Dre Greenlaw's reaction was. The other thing that I, we can talk a little bit about, some local high school basketball that in the area this week. Warrior Run dropped their first game over the weekend. Kind of a surprise, not a surprise. Montoursville is 3-1 now, but I'm a little surprised about how well the Warriors are playing right now under Mark Buscina. Mike Buscina's brother, he's been the coach there for 2 years. The Defenders dropped their first game of the season. Somebody else to keep an eye on who's playing real well right now is Midwest. You know, kind of a surprise. You know, they really struggled during the football season and just won three games, I believe, last year, and they won their fourth game this weekend. They're now 4-2, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, if they can keep this going. You know, the HAC Division II of the Heartland Athletic Conference is probably one of the toughest ones to play in. And that's unfortunately where Midwest slots into right now. And you know, you end up with games with, you know, two games with Danville a year, two games with Lewisburg a year, two games, you know, and that's a real tough matchup for a program that's trying to be trying to rebuild. But, you know, with the kind of shooting they have, you know, they certainly have enough chances to pull off some upsets. You know, we can talk a little bit about, you know, Sealance Grove has started the season with just one loss as well. I think they played real well at the end of last season or played real well at the beginning of last season and kind of petered out. And I think they have some District 6 5A playoff hopes, you know, along with, you know, they're going to have to figure out a way to beat Central Mountain, who beat them twice last year, who suffered some graduation losses, but should be pretty good again this season. You know, Schick got off to a quick start. I think that's the first time they've ever won their preseason tip-off classic, which they were able to do this year. You know, they're strong in the backcourt with Ryan Williams and Cam Leonard both being three-year starters. And, you know, that's huge. Is experience in high school sport, any kind of high school sports, is huge, just to know kind of what you're getting into. And, you know, the Braves have kind of hit a little bit of a skid right now, but, you know, Division One of the Heartland Athletic Conference behind Shamokin right now appears to be wide open. So, you know, whoever gets hot at the right time between Sealance Grove, Central Mountain, you know, Schick's in there, you know, Milton's got some talent in the backcourt, and their big man Joel Langdon is a real good player. So there's a real good chance that, you know, Division One of the Heartland Athletic Conference could come down to it, you know, if somebody can pull off an upset of the Indians, who, you know, right now I believe have two losses as well right now. But, you know, the kind of schedule they've played, you know, with their opening tournament where they lost to Bethlehem Catholic, and then they were on the road last week up at a Class 5A power in Abington Heights. You know, so as we get into the league season after Christmas, I really expect Shamokin to kind of take a step forward. They have another big non-league one this week, actually. Tomorrow night they head up to Loyalsock to face the Lancers. You know, once again, the Lancers probably one of the favorites in Division II with Jalen Andrews. Their big receiver is also one of the top guards in the area. And between Gage Patterson and some of the other athletes, they are... they are expected to contend in Division Two. Taking a look at Division Three, you know, like I said, Warrior Run just lost their first game of the season. You know, it's going to be hard to count out Southern Columbia as well once the Tigers, you know, kind of get over the football hangover and get into basketball shape. They're led by a 6-foot guard, Brian Britton, who averaged almost 20 points a game last year, has already scored 1,000 points and probably should be one of the top players in District 4. Plus, they have probably more depth than anybody inside between Jake Hoy and Isaac Carter, a couple football players, and Dominic Fedoroff, who have been playing quite well. But you know, right now, we'll have to see what's going on as the Tigers, you know, adjust to playing basketball instead of playing football, who won the state title about 10 days ago down in Cumberland Valley. All righty, we're going to take a little bit of a break right now, and hopefully we'll have Steve back on here when we come back. This is the Steve Jones Show on WKOK 1070 AM.
All right. Technical issues averted. Said, what do we do? I said, well, most of the equipment was made in the old Soviet Union. Just hit it on the side. All it understands is force. Just kidding. Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated, on3.com, will join us to talk about football recruiting at 1:35, West Durham ACC Network. Will join us at 2:06. Neil Coulong tomorrow, Nate Bauer on Thursday, and working on David Kellum, the voice of Ole Miss football, to join us before the week is out. David and I have exchanged emails, but I got a little hung up with travel and everything like that. I have not gotten back to him as to what day this week, so I'll get something from David here before it's all said and done. All right, Saturday. Got to get to this. It's been a rough year for officials in every sport. And Saturday was one of those days where, in the end, he, in my opinion, guessed. It's one of the worst things you can do as an official. You cannot guess. I don't care if Miles Kelly's on the floor. If you didn't see how he got there, you can't make that call. Well, it turned out that he got there because he fell down. I mean, I'm sorry. That's as simple as that. He fell down. In fact, Ace Baldwin didn't even remotely come close to even touching him. You can't make that call. Now, somebody said to me later, well, they shouldn't have been in that position. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, during the course of a game, there are going to be moments where you play really well. There are going to be moments where they play really well. There are going to be moments where you play lousy. There are going to be moments where they play lousy. There are going to be moments where you both play well. And there are going to be moments where you both play lousy. Well, in the end, in a game like this, that's about how it played out. And it did come down to that play with Penn State with a one-point lead. And keep in mind, when the play ended, who had the ball? DeMarco Dunn did. You have to take a long, hard look in college basketball with all the money that's being invested in it. Each coach should be allowed a challenge like the NBA has. Oh, and by the way, if you're out of timeouts, you can't use your challenge. So it would make you think about how you want to play a close game at the end about using your timeouts. But you have to be able, in that situation, do what the NBA does. Allow each coach to have a challenge. Oh, and by the way, like the NBA, allow the official to announce to everybody what the result is. College basketball is still backwards in many ways. This is one of them. The NBA's had this challenge system in now for a little bit. It works. And it doesn't eat up a lot of time doing it. They're relatively quick about it. And I see something like this, and the first thing I thought was is that the NBA, look, the NBA was able to properly officiate block charge before college basketball. The NBA was the first one to put the restricted arc in there. College basketball then followed suit. The NBA had the three-point line in long before college basketball did. NBA had a 24 shot clock in. Now, of course, college basketball's 30. I mean, you've got to be able to follow the lead and use the technology, because it is my personal opinion that this guy just flat out guessed, and that is a cardinal sin in officiating. Okay? Yes, Penn State got crushed on the boards for the first 30 minutes of the game, gave up a lot of offensive rebounds. Ace Baldwin missed a late free throw, so Penn State had some chances to do some things in the game. But the bottom line is it came down to a play, and in a play where Penn State played it right, they got exactly the shot they wanted from Georgia Tech. Exactly the shot they wanted. And played it right.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Prudy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show is brought to you by Prudy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PrudyInsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, RV, motorcycle. They'll do everything they can to save you money. In some cases, you're allowed to go over state lines so they can get the best rate. Other times, maybe in bundles. But they'll do everything they can to save you money while making sure you're fully insured. It is all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at SunburyMotors.com. Time now to bring in the outstanding Ryan Snyder from On3.com and Blue White Illustrated. Ryan, welcome back. Happy holidays to you and your beautiful family.
Happy holidays, Steve. When are you heading down to the Peach Bowl? Do you have basketball in between there?
I've got a game Thursday night, but then Jack's going Monday night, and I'm getting there very early Thursday morning, like about 8:30. I'm getting there very early Wednesday morning at about 8:30.
Nice. Have you ever been to that stadium? It's incredible.
Have not. Have not been to that stadium. I've done a couple of games in the Hawks Arena. I have done three or four games at Georgia Tech. I did an NCAA tournament game in the old Georgia Dome. So I have not seen this place.
Yeah, when we were still with Rivals, the Rivals had its five-star challenge there for a couple of years, and we basically had the stadium to ourselves for a day. So I've toured it a couple times, man. It is truly state of the art. So you guys will enjoy it down there.
And for the fans going, by the way, you will not be crushed by concessions. Arthur Blank, when he had the stadium built and set up, the concessions are not quite down to Little League World Series levels, but they're extremely reasonable. So enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we all know that with Penn State, nothing's really going to change too much. There shouldn't be a lot of drama coming up. Do you forecast any drama?
No, I'm kidding. no, not at this point. And that's really been pretty much the theme since I'd say the end of November. You know, as the season has progressed, well, put it this way, if you would ask me this, I would say early October, bye week area, you know, there were certainly some players we were still monitoring, you know, Penn State had interest in. But as the season has progressed, it feels like the staff has kind of made the decision to use any wiggle room they have, you know, maybe put it a little bit more towards the portal. So, you know, they have 25 guys committed right now. They really, of course, the coaches have been out on the road for, I don't know, the past 2 weeks or so. And really their focus while out on the road was portal guys and then visiting with the 25 players who are already committed. And of course they'll stop at some, you know, major high schools for 2025 guys as well, but
sure.
Should be pretty drama free on Wednesday. And that's just the way James Franklin likes it.
I feel, at least on paper, that Penn State is now in the process of stacking classes. Is that fair?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, this is another top 15 class sitting right outside the top 10. And, you know, I think last year they finished 14th and probably going to finish somewhere right around that that same spot again this year. But was it 15 five-star players, I believe it is. I apologize. I don't have the count right in front of me. But if we're looking at on-threes rankings, at least, another deep class with four-star talent, which is always what you want. And this one has multiple top 150 guys as well. We'll get into some of the details or some of the specifics if you want to talk about them. But, you know, when I always look at classes, obviously landing top 100 guys is incredibly important. You know, if you look at the top schools out there, you know, they're stacking top 100 guys. Penn State has a couple of them in this class, but they also have a pretty good chunk of guys in that top 100 to 200 range, really even top 150, which is always important. You know, guys knocking on the door to get into that top 100. So, about six or seven of those guys that I think, yeah, a lot of these, you know, all these prominent schools would really want, and that's what you want to see. And then, of course, there's some guys that maybe don't have some of those rankings on the back end, but they're also guys who have steadily been rising, whether it's you go back to the summer or, you know, look at their senior season so far. So, you know, there's one thing that James and the staff always do. You know, it's getting out in front of a lot of schools and finding talent before others really make a push for those guys. And I think, you know, if you look at, like I said, the middle tier of this class and even some of the guys that are a little lower ranked, I think they're going to be a good group of players who outplay those rankings. And you know, Franklin, obviously, and his staff fully believe that.
Based on where they are with guys leaving and now this group coming in, is this a good positional balance group?
Excellent. I mean, I would think, honestly, this may be positionally balanced-wise, you know, as far as looking at the numbers they need at each position, maybe one of the best classes they've brought in recent years. I mean, there's not really one spot that I look at and say, you know, they could really use another, you know, whatever it may be, a defensive back or all lineman or whatever position you want to pick. I mean, four or five? I think they have five offensive linemen, which to go along with last year's class, which was four quality guys, all of whom were four stars. That was last year. This year, I think it's three stars, I believe is what it is, depending on the rankings, of course, that you use. But, you know, another very strong offensive line class that stands out a lot. And then, you know, to answer or to go back to your regular point, you know, look at linebackers, two there. They got all the defensive back needs they want, multiple defensive linemen, two running backs. You got your top quarterback in Grunkmeyer. I mean, there really isn't one position I can point to. And that kind of also goes along with why we haven't seen, I don't want to call it drama, but movement here over the last couple of weeks. I mean, they knew that they were in a good spot and, you know, made sure to just prioritize and get those guys across the line.
Yeah, and a couple of guys that really stand out to you that were important, and on top of that, were there any guys along the way that had the ability to recruit other people?
For sure, there's always those big gets that Sean Fitz and I like to say. We're actually doing a story on that for later today. You know, as far as the players who really, you know, top of the rankings, guys who were highly coveted, I think you have to start with Quentin Martin out of Bell Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
Just got his second state championship last week. I was down there, and the thing with Quentin is, like, or at least watching that state championship game last week, like, you knew he was going to break one. It was so close so many times. His team opens up the second half, and boom, he busts off a 92-yard run to really put that game away. But, you know, looking at his career, you know, this is a player who rushed for almost 4,000 yards. has about 1,500 yards receiving. I think it was 80 some touchdowns, 80 to 90 range. I apologize, don't have the number right off the top of my head, but
okay.
just a guy who's been incredibly productive, right? And someone who was coveted by, you know, all the top schools in the region. Ohio State, Florida State was another one that was in the mix. So I think getting him is massive. Liam Andrews stands out as well. He's going to play defensive line at Penn State, another four-star player. He's out of Brookline, Massachusetts, went to the Dexter School. You know, the thing with Liam that's really interesting is, if you asked me a year ago, I was steadfast on he has to be an offensive lineman. I think he's such a good offensive lineman. And then he really wanted to play defense, and now as we've learned more and watched him more here, yeah, sure, we'll have to clean up technique and different things. But, man, as far as a wrecking ball in the middle that Penn State could really use it at that three technique or even one. We'll see where he progresses. He really fits that mold. So you got Cooper Cousins in there, of course, another, mm-hmm. I think he's the fourth-ranked offensive guard in the country. He's out of Erie, McDowell out of Erie. You got Grunkmeyer, quarterback, of course, who I think at the time he committed, he was the 41st-ranked quarterback, I want to say,
yeah.
And now he's top 10. I think he's 8th. In the industry rankings. I think O3 has them at number 7. So they've done, as I said earlier, man, they've done a really good job at finding guys who are kind of below the radar, and then the summer's camp scene comes on and the season, obviously their senior years, and you know, so many of these guys have blown up over the last couple months.
Which is great. Now, this is also a time of the year when they have to do everything. Go on the road, recruit, finish up, get the class done, prepare for a bowl game, and so forth. You and I have talked about this before, but it's a topic that came up earlier today at practice, as a matter of fact, and that was about the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
College basketball, for all the things that happen in college basketball, they've had an early signing day in November when they're right about the time the season begins. And there has been no issue with it for a couple of decades. Okay, that's a pretty good sample size. Why can't college football have an early signing period in August to alleviate this kind of month?
Oh, I pray. I pray it comes someday. It's so needed. You know, whether they – I don't know if they're going to do that. It feels – maybe you know better than me, Steve. I mean, I kind of felt – maybe a year or two, maybe more than that, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, that would be a little more likely. It seems like a lot of the talk now is just getting rid of the early signing period and pushing it all back to February where it used to be. I don't understand it either. I think you can absolutely, you know, have guys sign in August, and of course, if there's head coaching changes or whatnot, you know, maybe you got to give guys some wiggle room there. But I don't see why that would be an issue. I mean, Penn State had 24 of their 25 guys committed by the end of July. Most of those guys would have all signed and been happy to sign. And you know, I know there's coaching changes and all that, but there's coaching changes in college basketball too, and they make it work. So I think it's needed. I think it should come at some point. And you add in the transfer portal and bowl games and all this stuff. I don't know how Franklin does it. I don't know how any of those guys do it.
No.
It's an insane, what is it, 16 days basically just nonstop out on the road. And then I guess they come home for, what, maybe two of those days, two or three of them to work in a practice here or there and host guys on campus. But, you know, trying to juggle all that, you know, I know they get paid well, but I don't know what you would have to pay me to deal with the 16 days of hell, as I like to call it.
Right. No, because college basketball makes it work, right, and has for a long time. So I asked the question quietly today. I said, are the guys that you got verbals from, how many even remotely wavered between the time they verbaled and now? And they said none of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that tells me everything. In other words, they were ready to commit and just, I'm done with it.
They only had one player this whole season who was committed to them that went and visited a game elsewhere. And that player, yeah, he was never really wavering all that much. I think he just kind of wanted to go see a game more than anything.
Right.
But, like, if you go back over the years, you know, there's been way more than that. And a lot of those times it's just, you know, teammates going to games with their friends. Hey, I got a free ticket. Why not take it, right?
Yeah.
But the point remains, yeah, I mean, this is an issue that needs to be fixed and should be fixed. And I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic, I guess, is the right way, that I do like, you know, some of the changes they're trying to implement and seem to be trying to do it as soon as they can. But this has to be changed here at some point soon. I'm fine with an August 1, I'm fine with everything going back to February if that's what right. everyone thinks is best. But doing this right now just doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it makes no sense at all. The coordinators for Penn State, has this been, as you've talked to any of the players going along, has this been a question for any of the players just to make sure of how it's settled or in any way?
Not really, no. We talk about this all the time. I mean, the way Penn State recruits is how they kind of eliminate those issues, right? It's not just the coordinators. It's not just their position coach. You add in the recruiting staff. I mean, pretty much all offensive players are recruited by basically the entire offensive staff, and then vice versa there for defense. So the Koldenecki hire has been very positive from a lot of guys, and, you know, pretty much everybody I've talked to is excited about that. And, you know, we'll see if Tom Allen becomes official here soon. I was waiting for that to become official before I bug guys about, you know, their thoughts and all that. But
sure.
I think defensively, I mean, these guys knew Manny Diaz was going to be coveted, whether it was this year or next year. And I think most of them understood that, Manny was going to get an opportunity at some point. So, you know, what was the realistic chances of him being here all 4 or 5 years, whatever it may be? It was always kind of low, and they knew that. And I wouldn't even be surprised if they've talked about that, you know, throughout the recruiting process. And that's just college football, and, you know, you want to play at any of these prominent schools, you're going to deal with that. So no real issues there. I know, like, for example, Grothmeyer's been very excited with Koldenecki, and, you know, I've talked to Quentin Martin and a few other offensive guys. You know, they're all really excited, and I don't see why any of the defensive guys wouldn't be excited about Tom Allen.
Right. I mean, well, that's what's interesting about it. I think if you're not involved in the recruiting part, I think there's usually a tendency to overthink it if you're not involved in it. And mm-hmm. I think that's what happens in a case like this. People start coming up with scenarios. Could they lose somebody? Like, these guys pretty much have made up their mind.
Not only that, they don't want anything to do with going back.
Right, like exactly. They don't want to do it
they're
anymore.
They're excited. They're excited to not have. I mean, obviously, it's not just the coaches, right? I mean, there's a massive media scene here now that covers recruiting that I'm obviously very involved with, and, you know, it's not just having the coaches call you and text you, but there's a lot of media as well that, you know, are always reaching out and trying to figure out different things. So, you know, getting rid of that flood of, you know, constant people asking you different questions and different conversations, it's a major relief for a lot of these guys. So. And look, it's not like Penn State, had some poor season or anything like that. They're in a great spot here moving forward, especially with the 12-team playoff. Like, even if there are some coaching changes, it's not like Penn State's going to fall off the map all of a sudden.
So you always do an awesome job on the high school to college recruiting. How much do you try and get involved, or do you have to get involved with portal recruiting? And if so, what to this point would you know about it?
Oh, I mean, if I could show you our site analytics over the last two weeks or so, it's been everything. I mean, that's been what has everyone's attention here, especially, you know, because of course Penn State's 2024 class is pretty much settled. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, that's been a challenge to cover for a lot of different reasons. Obviously, college guys. Well, let's start with this. Most of these guys have agents now, right? So one of the main things that I'm getting a lot of feedback on is agents are basically telling guys, hey, look, don't talk a lot because you can hurt your leverage in different ways when it comes to NIL and different things. Or the less information out there, the better it often ends up being. And I think you're seeing that with a lot of these top guys who, yeah, maybe once they commit to whatever school it is, then they'll open up about, you know, why this, you know, school X was the school for me. But throughout that, you know, 2-week period or whatever it is, you know, a lot of these guys, some of them will tweet out offers. You know, that's another thing. Like, a lot of when the portals first opened, a lot of guys would put their offers out there and schools they were interested.
Right.
So,
exactly.
You know, a lot less of that now too, where guys are just, you know, float behind the scenes, and then you can kind of, you know, leverage school X or school Y or school Z. And, you know, I hate using the word leverage, but that's really what this is becoming with NIL, especially in the portal. I mean, I hate the word free agency in college football, but it is that to some degree, where a lot of these guys are, you know, trying to maximize NIL deals as much as finding the best school for them, which is sad in a lot of ways, but that's kind of the Pandora's box that's been opened. The one other thing too, Steve, I'll say real quick is that you know, from a source perspective, you know, if I'm trying to get people that, you know, I've built sources with over the years, right, it doesn't benefit them to talk either, because they don't want school X or school Y, you know, knowing which guys are on campus or who they're out visiting and things like that. So it's a situation where I tell people all the time, for high school recruiting, it's a lot different because everything's kind of out there in the open in the public. But for these 3 weeks, both sides, recruits and agents, and also coaching staffs, you know, they're realizing that the less information that's out there, the better it is. So, you know, the schools they're competing against don't have to, you know, just don't know certain pieces of information. So it's getting more and more like that, which makes it hard to cover. And I know fans are craving for information, and we're doing the best we can at times. But, you know, I'd be lying if I said it was easy to figure out player X or player Y, because it's anything but.
Yeah, because, I mean, for the most part, with many of these guys, especially ones that are considering Penn State, you probably already had a great rapport with them to begin with a few years ago, and now it's probably almost impossible for you to break through the wall.
For sure. So, I mean, they have two guys committed right now. Of course, Alan Heron's very interesting. Yeah. Now, out of Shorter University, former Division II guy who absolutely fell through the cracks. I mean, we've had some talks with different scouts and whatnot over the last week since he's committed, and, you know, more than one has said that they think he's a potential NFL guy. So, you know, whether he comes in here and plays right away, time will tell. We'll see how that works out. They also added Chase Meyer, a solid kicker from Tulsa yesterday. I think he's going to come in and compete really well with Sanders Sadayak and, of course, Ryan Barker. You know, we'll see who wins that job down the road. But I know the name everybody wants to talk about, of course, is Julian Fleming, which I think that's where you were leading me to.
No, I really wasn't, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Well, you said, like, you know, a couple years ago, which, anyway, I feel like so many people have hinted at that the last couple of days. But now, of course, I mean, Fleming's still out there, hasn't announced anything publicly yet. You know, we know he went to Nebraska. We know he took an unofficial visit to Penn State. I believe it was not this past Thursday, but the Thursday before that. Yeah. And, I reached out to Julian pretty much right when we learned about him visiting. And he was, you know, we've always had a good relationship. Obviously, I've been covering him since he was a freshman in high school. And he was like, hey, look, you know, really appreciate you. I just have to keep everything incredibly quiet on this one. And that's just been a theme that we've seen with so many of these guys. So he hasn't really talked about it with anybody since, or hasn't really opened up about anybody. I don't think you'll find a single interview from him about this process.
No.
But I do think it's coming soon. Penn State feels like they're, from what we've gathered, seems like Penn State's in a good position. But, you know, the ball is basically in Julian's court. I don't know if other schools are making a late push, which is always possible with other receivers committing elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But Penn State seems to feel pretty good about this one from what we understand. And we'll see if he actually wears the blue and white, which I know so many fans have been coveting for such a long time.
We'll all find out together. All right. Although there's a good chance you may find out first. So, hey.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Ryan, thanks so much. Really appreciate it, as always, okay?
Of course, Steve. We'll catch up soon, man. Safe travels. Enjoy the holidays, and Merry Christmas, and happy holidays to everybody listening. Take care.
Happy holidays to you and that beautiful family of yours. Thanks so much.
Appreciate you, buddy. Yep, take care.
Bet. Ryan Snyder on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. West Durham, ACC Network, next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.